On The Fan, brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Jets. You know, one of the things you just heard in Bogus's update, I'll get back to these baseball calls, but when Sauce says, I want to be part of a winner, you know, I believe that. Call me naive. I think he enjoys being a Jet and not just getting paid to remain a Jet. I think there's a lot of pride there. That's why when Hoff and I were debating, you know, does he have an all-pro kind of season now that he got the bag? I think that he does, because I think last year, if you look at his history so far, was the outlier. He checked out. Maybe he didn't want to get hurt because he was about to get paid. Maybe he wasn't, you know, feeling the staff. Maybe he was hurt and we didn't know it. Whatever. I mean, that can't happen again, but that's not the Sauce Gardner that we loved the first 2 years. Certainly his first year, and even year two was really good. So I think that's exciting. I think you flip it on the other side with somebody like Garrett Wilson. Isn't that just what we're after, you know, from a Jet and a Giant football perspective? Continuity? Be nice, right? You draft a player. What a concept. He gets a second contract. And then you look up and he's a, you know, 8, 9, 10-year Jet or a Giant. That's how you build something. Baby steps, but certainly good stuff. All right, let me get Graham in Indianapolis on the Free Odyssey app. What's up, Graham?
Hey, what's going on, BT?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. All right. I want to lay out a scenario right here. You're the GM. I'm a scout. I'm going to read you these numbers and let me know what you think. You're in a World Series window, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You got the best right-handed hitter in baseball on your team.
Yeah.
All right. So
and one of the best pitchers in baseball in Freed.
Yep. We have a great staff.
I don't know if it's great anymore with the injuries, but it's good. It's good.
All right. So we got a player. He has 1,500 at bats. He has a career average of .224, a career on base percentage in the .280s, has made crucial errors in big spots, leads the AL in errors for the year, can't throw to third base, has John Lester-esque yip. He has zero measurables to back all this up. He doesn't do anything particularly well, especially physically. He has an average arm. He has no size or strength, doesn't hit home runs. And he's your shortstop for the last 3 years, the New York Yankees. So what do you make of that? And where do you go from here? Because all I hear is we're stuck with Volpe this year.
Mm-hmm.
He has an OPS plus in the 80s career.
I know. Hundreds average. Like, I know all the numbers. Right. I know.
And I'm going to say a buzzword, but he'd be a major upgrade, which is sad.
Who?
IKF's an upgrade.
Come on, stop.
I know.
He would be.
I know.
Right now, IKF's a better major leaguer than Volpe, but I mean, IKF's not the move. Sorry, so
he's not the move. I agree.
You know, you just say that to illuminate your main point about where Volpe is as a player. I get it. It's nowhere near where he's supposed to be. 1,500 at bats is a pretty decent, you know, a pretty decent sample. Now, you say he's got no measurables. You also started throwing stuff in there just to kind of further validate your stance, which I got to push back a little bit. Like, yeah, he's got the yips. You don't know if he's got the yips. I mean, I don't really see. I'm not even sure Pete Alonso fully has the yips throwing to first base, you know. But that looks a little more yippish than Volpe suddenly throwing across his body and just getting a little bit out of mechanically. I don't know. I'm not in his head, so I don't know that it's a yip. I don't think it is. But you make it seem like it certainly is, so I'd push back a little bit there. You'd say that he has no measurables. He did run a 6.5 chain 60, which is flying. Listen, here's the bottom. So that's a measurable. The bottom line is this. At the end of the day, he's just probably not a first-round talent. He's probably overdrafted. You know, I talked to some people that really saw him play a lot of baseball growing up. A lot of the same leagues that I watch now. And no, I don't get thrown out of those. Take it easy. I'm just watching. No, but what I always heard about Anthony is that he was never the best player on the team. He just wasn't. But as teams would start, now you're also talking about like Team USA. I don't mean some town travel team. You know, of course he's the best player there. But like when you start to get onto the national stage, when you start to hit puberty and you start to really become kind of what you might become, he was never the best player on his team. He just wasn't. And they'd go into whatever exhibition series, you know, high profile, whether it's PG, United States, like, you know, Team USA. And before you know it, it's like, all right, Who led the team in hitting? Volpe. Who's the best player here? Volpe. Who probably had the least palpable or obvious athletic traits? Probably Volpe. So it was always incongruent. Like, let's get the measurements. How big are you? You know, how fast are you? Well, he is fast. How big are you? How hard do you throw? What's your exit velo off the barrel? All things that they measure even at this, 11, 12 years old, or earlier than that. He was never going to jump off the page. The thing that I think certainly endeared him to a lot of people, and obviously the Yankee scouting community, Oppenheimer, et cetera, is that there's a great character, there's a great intellect, and there's enough physical prowess that the makeup was supposed to elevate the other stuff, which is great. But not as a first-round pick. Maybe that's where they messed up. Is it a little different if Volpe's a fifth-rounder? Or I know it's different if he's from Wisconsin. The fact that he's from Jersey, went to Del Bar, and that just intensifies everything. Intensifies the happiness when he does well. Intensifies the frustration when he struggles. The reaction is what it is. But if he was a seventh-round pick, fifth-round pick, I don't know. I think it's the same if he spent 3 years at, pick any school, instead of coming out of high school, getting a big bonus as a first rounder. Is it perceived different? I think for a while it was, but now it's becoming something that is just unacceptable from a baseball perspective at this level. It's no longer like, he's still stealing bases, and yeah, man, he's still picking it at short, still showing that pop. All right, the average is low, he's young. Now it's like, it's an adventure when the ball's hit to him. He's hitting .212. His on base is under 30%. That's unavoidable stuff. You have to look at that, Let me get Jeremy in New Jersey. What's up, Jeremy? BT and Sal on the Fan. How you doing?
Hey, BT, thank you for taking my call. How are we doing today?
I'm good, man. Yes, sir. You got it. What's cooking? A little Volpe on your mind?
A little Volpe, a little Aaron Boone. Two quick points. One's going to lead into the other, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like the Yankees nowadays, they've lost their identity. There's no role when it comes to this batting order. We all know the batting order is different almost every single game.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
But nobody has had an opportunity to fit into a role. Let Dominguez be the leadoff. At least he knows what his role is.
Mm-hmm.
Let Judge bat 2, Bellinger 3, so on and so forth. If you change the lineup every single day, you're not giving anyone an opportunity to fit into a role, which is essential to a baseball team. And that's going to lead me to my second point. Aaron Boone isn't allowing them to have a role. Now, when it comes to Boone, obviously we know he's going to go to bat for his boy Volpe. Fine, whatever. You love Volpe? I love Volpe too. But Volpe right now, he's not it.
No.
And if I have to listen to Boone defend this guy every single post game, I'm going to lose my mind. Now, last night, you got runners on first and second, two outs, I believe it's seventh or eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Bellinger, he sat him all game.
No,
all right, fine.
Mm.
Bellinger doesn't do good against the starter for Toronto. That's fine. Dominguez is 0-17. Pinch hit Bellinger.
Yep.
Give him an opportunity. They were already in the bullpen. You give Bellinger the opportunity. If he strikes out, if he gets out, whatever. If he produces, that's great. But again, that's on Aaron Boone, and that's faulty managing. Thank you.
Yeah, I would have gotten him off the bench as well. I said that too. I do agree with that part. There's no question. He pinch hit for Volpe a couple of weeks back, so it's not like he's averse to pinch hitting for a young kid who's fragile. He did it with Volpe. He should probably do a little bit more with Anthony right now. Last caller said Yanks lost their identity. That's one way of saying it. How I framed it over the years is that, of course the Yankees want to win. There's no doubt about it. Yankees want to win. It's reflected in their payroll. It's reflected by the fact that every year they've got a couple of All-Stars. The Yankees want to win. Here's the difference. The Yankees are no longer possessed to win. That's the difference. They want to win. They try to win. They're even driven to win. They're not possessed to win. Where winning is oxygen, and oxygen is winning. That was one thing that they always had. And that is evaporated. And it plays out a lot of different ways. Let me get Andrew and Shirley kind of jumping on the Mets stuff as well. We hit that too. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks, BT. It's been a little while. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, with the Mets, I mean, listen, it's kind of similar as what you just said with the Yanks. I mean, they're definitely not possessed to win, that's for sure. You know, these couple wins that they just had might be the worst-looking wins you'll ever see. You know, I love fighting for one. I'll take them every day. But they're some of the worst you'll ever see. And this recent play's been bad. My biggest thing is, you know, I know Stearns kind of keep it close to the vets. And maybe he's just, you know, playing chess, everyone else playing checkers or vice versa. That's fine. But here's the bottom line at the end of the day when the deadline hits. If the Mets do not get an impact bat, which is likely at third base, and an impact arm in the bullpen, I'll concede the starter. But impact in the bullpen that I can actually trust outside of Diaz, just take whatever aspirations you have of contending for a World Series, if you're a fan and front office, and delete it. Throw it into the sun, because it's gone. Because I'm going to say this. The whole center field idea, I love the idea behind it, but if you're going to get me someone who's marginally better offensively than Tyron Taylor, because if you look at the center fielders who are available, there's only one guy who really sticks out with a bat, and that's Buxton. Everyone else is just a solid guy who plays decent defense.
I agree.
So if you're not going to get a guy that's going to protect Pete Alonso, which is Suarez on the Diamondbacks, you're not making the team that much better in that lineup. We're going to have the same complaints in 3 weeks when Pete's not getting pitched to, which he's never had protection since the day he's put cleats on for the Mets. And it's just driving me nuts because that guy is available, at least presumably we all think he is.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, don't let Beatty hitting his first home run of the year against the lefty convince you, oh, third base is fine, let's focus on center field. If they don't do it, I'm out on the season, basically.
Well, hold on. You're not out on the season.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, it feels good to say it, does it? Even though we never mean it. I don't know what we think we're going to accomplish. I'm done. I'm never going to watch him again. Who are you kidding? Stop. Yeah, you are. And you're going to flip on WFAN the next day, and you're going to open up your phone and, you know, chat your boys up and tweet away and let it rip. Come on. We're in this for life. We all know it. But it makes us feel better when we say it.
Yep.
It's crazy. Hey, I got bad news for you. You're not getting a bat, and you're not going to win the World Series if you don't. I agree with your premise. They absolutely have to get a stick. They have to. And, you know, even though Lindor's in an 0-for-19 funk, I'm counting. I mean, why wouldn't you? He's a really good player. I'm counting on him rebounding. But I've got to incorporate on some level, the foot could be an issue, the toe, the broken. Maybe this is why he looks bad. And if that's the case, maybe he doesn't hit the way he should the rest of the way. See, it's not just like, well, eventually the toe is going to heal. It is. I mean, he didn't rupture his Achilles, God forbid. You know, thank God he broke a little teeny toe. So he'll be fine. Like, the toe will be fine. But what I think a lot of people are not incorporating now is that once you go into a slump, if it's because of the injury, and because I believe he's good enough, I'm going to attribute it to the injury. To what degree, I don't know, but more than none. Once the injury heals, doesn't mean that automatically you're good to go. Not with hitting. Now it's like, ooh, all right, well, because the toe was hurting, has he changed his mechanics a little bit to alleviate the punishment on the foot? And if that's the case, what else has that done? Because it's one big chain reaction. Once something gets broken down in the swing or thrown a baseball, guess what? Everything else follows. And it's 2 degrees off here, and it's 5 degrees off there, and it's this, and it's that. Now, you don't just snap out of that by hitting off a tee for one day. You got to get in the lab. I know the Mets have a pitching lab. I don't know if they have a hitting lab. And if they do, it stinks. So even though I'm going to include him as somebody who's going to get going, even what he does, I don't think you have enough. And I've said that forever. Been saying that for well over a month. Got to get a bat. Have to get a bat. Now, I know Senga was awful last night, but between Manaea, Peterson, Senga, honestly, I think the Mets' top of the rotation is really good. Really good. And you know, that Stearns is going to get you absolutely one, I think two, really good bullpen arms. You got Raley back the other day. Diaz is a beast. All right, so that's going to get better. And when that gets better, then there will be a little less urgency to hit because the pitching will get better and you won't give up leads, blah, blah, blah. But I just don't think their lineup's good enough. There's too many dead spots, and nobody can tell me otherwise. They don't hit enough. Let me get Ron, who is in St. Louis, Missouri, on the Free Odyssey app. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hey, BC. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. You got, thank you. What's up?
I just want to address Pete Hoffman there with his Lindor thing. I just want to ask him, who is the only Hall of Famer from the 90s Yankees?
Now, who's the only one on the 98 Yankees? Say that again.
Positional player that made the Hall of Fame from our great team.
Well, it's Jeter.
Only one guy.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest shortstop in New York. Okay. No Francisco Lindor.
Well, I mean, that's
who
what I was...
Yeah. Jeter.
I know. But I think this might be a you and Hoff thing here. Hoff, would you like to
I'll just say
in?
This much. Derek Jeter did not need my strays today, but I will say this. He's the deserving Hall of Famer for what he did. However, you put many other shortstops in that position, they probably would have had as good of a career.
Not as clutch, though. Come on, Hoff. Let's not get nuts here.
I mean, he was lucky. He was lucky to be in a random spot versus the A's.
Jeffrey Mayer.
Yeah. Well, that too. I mean, he's got a lot of luck on his side. It's good. Listen, Yankees bring a lot of luck. Pinstripes. I get it.
And where is the luck, Lou? What happened to it?
Well, Derek Jeter retired. It had to come to an end.
Yeah, he's not even showing up for Old Timers Day. That's how he repays us. Thanks a lot, Kat.
He gave you Stan.
I don't understand it, though. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I said that yesterday. At least he had the foresight to have the Marlins pay for $10 million of the standing contract as that expires. I said yesterday, like, and if he's got a family function, then obviously I'm out of bounds. I'm not trying to be rude. And we all respect Derek the hell out of Derek. Just don't know how you don't show up to the Old Timers. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Growing up, I mean, it was just a procession. There's the Mick and Earl. There's DiMaggio. There's Whitey. There's Yogi. I was the best. Now there's the crew from the 70s. There's Reggie. There's Goose. There's Nettles. There's Willie. There's Roy White. Well, 80s were lean. But you had to pull Jesse Barfield. But I don't understand. And it's not like they're not honoring a championship team. They're honoring the team that beat the Mets in the Subway Series. Dove, hold on. Let me list the resume. As the executive producer of the radio broadcast, do you have any information as to why?
No information. All I'll say is this. It would be a little awkward if he showed up.
Yeah.
His teammates are on the field in uniform.
Okay.
And he's not.
Stop. Coach of base.
Again,
don't get thrown out.
But then you're saying that I'm too big to go on the field and play. I'm going to be off the field, even though these guys are on.
Okay, you know what, though? I'm going to give you a little credit. That's actually a pretty interesting way to look at it. Like, you're getting separation. Like, oh, you know, listen, I'm going to be the modern-day DiMaggio, and Mickey runs out. Mickey waddles out in his pinstripe uniform, and I'm there in a $2,000 suit. Well, not back then, $2,000, but you know what I mean. Like, so if Derek gets that separation, he's, like, elevating himself. But I think it's worse. At least if he's there... At least he's there with his boys, and he's like, what's worse, not playing or not going? Come on, dude.
If he's not playing because he's worried about his reputation, not to be seen on the field without having the talent, if that's his concern, how he's perceived, he's perceived better not being there than being there and being
outside. Get over it, Jeter, how he's perceived. Here's how he's perceived. Stud. On the field and off. Stud. From Jeffrey Mayer to gift baskets in the limousine. Stud. That's the only perception that matters. How he looks. We're not going to judge him. Derek can't get down the line anymore. Oh, Derek can't quite make that throw from the hole, buddy. What happened? You're losing it. Yeah, he retired a long time ago. He still looks great. He's got beautiful girls. Wife's beautiful. He looks like a king. Looks like a prince. Show up. Don't defend him. Unless he's got something going on. Now, Hoff, you just said what happened with Marte?
Yeah, breaking news. The Mets acquired a bat. They have brought up Starling Marte from the IL.
Acquired, quote unquote. You know, that's a little bit earlier than I thought. He usually doesn't heal very fast. That's
even when he's playing, he's not really healed.
I know.
So it's like, hey, why not? Just throw him up here.
Yeah. And ever since, if I'm not mistaken, ever since, remember the picture of him at his hotel room in Pittsburgh? Absolutely jacked.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was in a towel looking out the window with breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think he got hurt the next day.
Probably.
I think it was something weird like that picture. And we're on the air like, this guy looks like Zeus. And he's been hurt ever since.
He usually, listen, no one will take away his physique. He looks amazing.
He's yoked.
He just he has the body structure of or the injury body of like Stanton. Like, what am I trying to say here? He's very fragile.
Yeah, a little bit. No, I get it. A little fragile. Yeah, but the Jeter stuff. And again, I'm not trying to make a big deal. I'm not trying to pound on the captain unfairly. I respect him. How do you not? He's Derek Jeter. But then the next sentence is unless something's really going on, how the heck are you not there? 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Not that it won't hurt. You know, it won't help you a little bit, but you can't rely on Winker. You just got to go out there. You just get a bat, dude. Like, if the Mets were in the early stages of, you know, building, kind of like they were when they got Keith in 83, I'd say, all right, you know, there's really no reason to go nuts. And, you know, Keith is the move, and then you kind of piece it together. You know, you have Doc and Darryl and et cetera coming up. Well, Darryl's up in 83. And Darling and El Cid, some young players. But to me, the Mets are just in a very different spot. Not that they've got a one-year window to win the World Series, but if I ask you right now, who's playing first base for the Mets next year? You can't answer that. You could try to. You could hope it's Pete. It might be Pete. Might not be Pete. You know? So I think that that's a big, big part of the reason why you've got to speed things up. And it doesn't seem like Stern seems very inclined to do that. Let me get back to the phones, though. How about Luke is in Farmingdale? Let me get Luke. What's going on with this? Need a little help here, guys. It's not suddenly the screen is not working. If you could punch up Luke when you get a chance. Luke? There you go. Thank you. Luke, what's up?
BT, what's up, man? Big fan. Been listening to you since the Tiki days.
All right. Thank you.
Listen, this Hoff guy should, you know, really get fired for what he said. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Forget about Jeter. He's not the best guy, best shortstop in the majors right now. I can name four guys better than him just off the top of my head.
Let me hear him. Well, Witt's obviously. Who else?
Witt, Corey Seager, Mookie out in sorry, my daughter's here.
I got you.
Mookie out in L.A.
Mookie's hitting 230. Next.
All right. Well, I mean, but still, for his career, I really don't think it's Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And he's actually going to sit there and try to compare him to A-Rod in his prime.
And Jeter.
This guy,
don't forget
this
about Jeter, too.
Off the fence.
I got you.
I mean, he's always going to, people are always going to debate Jeter, but like, you know, I mean, you got A-Rod, Nomar. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'll take Reyes over Lindor. Thanks for the call. Well,
that's an interesting one. Thank you, Luke. Can you drop that? I can't do that either, guys. Thank you very much. I'm not sure what happened there. We'll try to fix that. The Reyes angle is an interesting one. Reyes. Hoff, who do you prefer, Reyes or Lindor? Lindor's better, he says.
What's that about?
Yeah, he might be. Let me just pop this up and get this thing fixed. Reyes. Let's see. I didn't do anything. I'm very soft with it. Caress it to get good calls. Huh? I'm not aggressive with that. Reyes. Yeah, I mean, I was a big Reyes fan. I liked Reyes. I mean, you do look... Well, put it this way. Take away the years. Take away the years when he came back to the Mets. Take a year the Colorado, Toronto, Miami. So, you're looking at a... Four, I mean... 60 steals, 64 steals, 78 steals, 19 triples, 17 triples, 17 triples, 204 hits, 122 runs, 119 runs, 113 runs, batting average, 280, 297, three bills, a couple of OPSs in the mid-eights. It's close. It really depends what you're looking for. Reyes was really, really good. How about, let me get see if this works now. Mitchell in Fort Lee on the Fan, BT and Sal. Mitch, what's happening?
Hello, Mr. BT. How was your vacation, first of all? You had a good time?
I did. Well, Mitch, I haven't talked to you in a while. How's have you done anything at Sal's house recently? Any
No, not yet, but I think he told me that he needs you to come there and help him with the pool this week.
Well, then I need then I got to go help him. I know I'm going through his house. No. Listen, I'll be at Sal's house in a couple of weeks. We're doing like a family barbecue, but hopefully the pool's clean because I'm not coming to clean the pool.
I got you. So, but two things, BT. Number one, I want to talk about the Yankees, but first about the Jets and Giants brought up. I was at the Borgata 2 weeks ago, and his name is Tom Gables. He runs the casino, the sports book for the Borgata. And he told me, bet the under on the Jets and Giants 5.5. He says there's no way that the Jets and Giants will have more than 5.5 wins. And I believe he's right. I think they're both going to have a tough year. Both of them. It's going to be another long football season for you and Sal to talk about it the whole year.
Yay, that sounds fun. Here's the thing, though. I don't know his name. I like the Borgata quite a bit. Obviously, it's his life work, so he knows a lot more about this than me. Doesn't mean he's going to be right. I know you know that, number one. Number two, if I was to bet, and I might. I like to tap into the futures market. I think that's really fun. You kind of stretch your buck, whatever. If I was to touch the over-unders for Jets and Giants win totals, if I was, I would be more inclined to go under with the Giants than with the Jets. Number one, the schedule is just very hard, and I know we always say that. I just think the Jets' schedule, I think there's some more wins, and I think the Jets have a little more talent. I do. I'm not going to start running through schedules here, but, you know, I think the Jets have a little more talent. Sucked into that. At least let me just look at the first five games of the chat. I can't not. You start talking about the season, you got to look at the schedule. All right. Week one, we know that. Don't have to look at the schedule for that. Aaron Rodgers, Steelers, MetLife, win. I'm going to do 5 weeks. You know what? I'm going to mess around. I'm going to go up until the bye week just for a goof here. Now, the bye's in a good spot. Week nine. Week one, home, Steelers, win. Week two, home, Bills. I mean, I've got to give the Bills respect and say loss for the Jets, but they could beat them. They beat them when Rodgers got hurt a couple years ago opening night. Down in Tampa, I think that's going to be a loss. A lot of respect for Baker. But you could win, but I'm going to say loss. I'll say 1-2. At Miami, win. They're going backwards. Home versus Dallas, win. And the last time they played Dallas at home, I was there. My wife's a big Cowboys fan, and I was in Dallas 2 years ago, and that sucked. Sauce actually had a pick six that he dropped. Oh, it would have changed everything. And Zach was terrible. And then, but the last game at MetLife between the Jets and the Cowboys, remember, Darnold had like a 91-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson. That was wild. Jets won. Jets will win that game. Home against Denver. Yeah, Jets home from last year. Jets will beat them. Oh, that's in London, actually. That's the London game. Who knows? But very possibly a win. At Carolina, all right, I'm getting a little nuts here. I think I'm giving them way too many wins. Let's dial it down, buddy. So now you got to give them probably a loss that they shouldn't have. I'll say they lose Carolina. And they got a chance to win at Cincinnati. Their defense stinks. So that's what, 3, 6, 8 games? Jets can't be 4. Even if, all right, 4-4 is probably a bit ambitious. You can't be 3-5? I think they could be. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal's 137 on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Sal is off, obviously. We'll get you till 2, and then it's Evan and Tiki. Back to the calls next on the Fan.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
How about Gio in New Brunswick? What's going on, Gio?
I'm going insane. I'm going insane to the point that I'm making up tunes about this. You ready? We don't believe in Volpe. We don't believe in Volpe because Volpe's not that good. We can't keep going with this. He's costing us games. I understand. He's a great kid. He does everything the right way, but the results are not showing. How much longer do we keep this up? Nobody else.
Hey,
I know we have no. But.
How long did you work on that song?
Dude, 3 minutes. Me and my brother were watching it the other day.
Sounds like 3 seconds. three minutes. That's rough. That was a rough one, man. I mean, I understand he's not playing well, but that was not good. 145 on the Fan. About 10 more minutes. Evan and Tiki coming up next. Here, let's get back to the phone. It's been hot. Let me get Ryan in Tarrytown. Hey, Ryan. What's happening? Hey, Ryan.
I'm a big Mets fan. Yeah, I kind of disagree. I don't mind them. I don't think this team is very good. I think they're worse than their record. I think that if we start building for next year, it's fine. I mean, the pitching staff can't stay healthy. The bullpen's a nightmare. I can't. When they bring in the bullpen, I think I'm having a nightmare.
Right, hold on. We all know about the bullpen, and we've talked about that. You know, there's basically no disparity between the innings thrown by the starters and the collective relievers for well over a couple of months now. There's a lot of bad stats, but hold on. So you're basically calling us up and saying, go to next year?
I think that we could play out the season if we get hot in the wild card or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I have no confidence when it's the bottom of the. When we're up. My confidence level
is low. That's why you make trades.
Considering the names we have already, but I think they got to get hotter.
Ryan, that's why you make trades.
Well, we should bring in some. We must bring in some bullpen and keep them for next year.
They're going
year,
to. But, they will.
All right. I mean, I just don't think we're that good of a ball club.
Fair enough.
We're worse than the record. All right.
Thanks, Ryan, man.
I listen to you every day.
You got it. But no, I appreciate that. Thank you, Ryan. I was just trying to get to the bottom of you know, are you jumping ship? Are you, you know, you want them to win, but you don't believe that they could. And eventually that's kind of where we got. I don't think the Mets are a great team. I don't know if there's any great team this year, quite frankly. Dodgers are an absolute disaster. We know the Yankees have a million holes. I mean, where's the great team? The Phillies, you know, are slightly better in the standing. Mets handle them. They're playing well. Braves are done. They stink. You worried about the Padres? Who are you worried about? So I just think that, I mean, and thankfully, most Met fans share, maybe not our last caller to this extent, but you haven't won a World Series in 86. There is no punting when you're in the neighborhood or in the ballpark of being able to win. It's just not what you do. Now, I haven't done this in a while. I like to do this with Sal, and we'll kind of guess, but I'll fill it in without him here today. Because both teams, even though the Mets won last night, both fan bases are a bit ticked off. So I will go, and I'm on the engine right now. Here's the projections. And boy, it's gotten lower. All right, right now the Yankees are projected to win 91.8 games. They have a 92.7% chance to be a playoff team and a less than 44% chance to win the division. That's the Yankees, all right? The Mets. Wow. This really surprises me. The Mets right now, their expected win total is 87.4, which would be lower than last year. I mean, they better make some moves, otherwise it might be that, but I'd still have to take the over. Stop. Division, this seems a little disrespectful to a team that's a half a game out, 21.6%. Vegas is not loving these Mets seasons, so I'm hearing. Overall playoff possibility, 69.7%. I'd probably put that more mid-70s, but you get it. I mean, and again, the calculation, strength of schedule, what they've already done, blah, blah, blah. But what you can't calculate with a computer is what moves they make. And one of the moves they better make is a real legitimate thumper. They got to get a bat. Let me get Sid up in Riverdale on the fan, BT and Sal. Hey, Sid.
Hey, BT, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm such a disgusted Yankee fan. I got to be honest, BT. I lived through the early 80s, as you know. I've seen it all. I'm just not that confident that Cash is going to make the right moves moving forward.
What would you deem the right moves? And you're definitely right when you say moves plural, but what would you deem the right moves?
Well, getting a real third baseman.
Yep.
A bat, shore up the bullpen.
Yep.
And the thing that bothers me is that since Cash always seems to hold on to all these prospects, I don't want them trading Spencer Jones.
I don't think they will, because I don't think there's anybody that's now. We didn't think the Devers was available, so you never know. I don't think that I don't think that they're going to trade him for that. You're not going to do it for Suarez, who's 34. I don't think that's happening. I don't think he's going to get dealt.
You know, and the thing that I saw the other day, now confirm this if I was wrong.
Yeah.
I saw Ricky Ricardo posted something on Facebook and
online.
I
had just gotten back from vacation. Go ahead.
How true is that?
And I don't know. I haven't asked Ricky, so I don't know the answer to that question. What I do know is, number one, Ricky is awesome. He's a great guy. And he knows his stuff, and he's connected. So, and Ricky's not somebody who's going to sloppily, especially when he works for the Yankees, in Spanish broadcast, and his calls are awesome. I love him. But he's not going to throw something out hastily or irresponsibly, you know, when he's getting a paycheck from the team. I mean, that's like career suicide. So there's no way he's doing that. I don't know if he got it from the Yankees, but I can promise you he got it from somewhere that's fairly well-sourced, if not very well-sourced. So I believe it. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means that they're open to it or they're thinking about it. I don't have it in front of me. It was definitely not Lombard. It was Schlittler, right? If I remember, Schlittler? Yeah, Schlittler, Jones. Maybe there's just those two. I think it was a 2-for-3 where then they would get back Suarez, Merrill Kelly, and a higher leverage relief arm. I would not make that trade myself. Forget about, you know, Ricky's reporting. I'm not going to do that myself. You know, but I don't know. They're getting a third baseman. What's up, Hoffman?
By the way, it was Beeks, Jalen Beeks, Eugenio Suarez, Merrill Kelly, but it did not include George Lombard or Spencer Jones.
Yeah, it was Schlittler and it wasn't Jones.
It did include.
I thought it was Schlittler, and it wasn't Schlittler and Jones.
Correct. So Jones, Lombard were not part of it.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you for the clarity there. Okay. So, but I don't even want to give up Schlittler. I mean, I can't wait to watch him pitch. I really can't wait to watch him throw. It's going to be exciting. I mean, that first game, he averaged 98.7 miles per hour on his fastball, which was the highest average velocity for a fastball thrown by Yankee starters all season. And it's the young man's first start. He's long. He just discovered a new, I think it's the cutter. Was it the cutter or the, yeah, it wasn't a circle change. He just discovered a new pitch that he picked up very fast, and I know that they trust. So, I mean, I'm not saying under no circumstance would I give him up. For that circumstance, I'm not going to give him up. No way. You know, and can we see one thing tonight? And if we don't, and I'm not even saying that we will. I don't know what they're going to do. If they don't knock the crap out of Max Scherzer tonight, like, I mean, come on. Can we get something going here tonight against this guy? Talk about the Yankees alumni game. This guy's, he's a step away from being in there. I mean, I don't get it. I respect him tremendously. What a good pro. Can you hit this guy? Just bang out some runs. Let me see something here. Yeah, I mean, you talk 22 hits, 23 innings. Just got to knock him around. Mike's in Brooklyn. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys? 50 years old, listened to the fan my whole life, and I've never called in, but today you got me to do it.
I got you.
You think,
or
you got if you think Francisco Lindor, and I'm a huge Met fan.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
Orange and blue skies. If you think Francisco Lindor is better than Alex Rodriguez, yeah, in his prime,
I mean,
you should just stick your head in the toilet and just flush. Just
yeah.
flush. Because yeah. you just shouldn't be on the radio. You shouldn't be on the radio.
Well, I mean, Mike.
I mean, you should.
Hey, Mike, how about you go shove it? Here's the deal. Alex Rodriguez moved to third base, you idiot. Okay? You want to tell me I can't be on the radio?
When he was on the radio?